Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit, we trust God is doing you good, blessing you so much in a mighty way. My name is Ray, I'm talking to Sipati Dabudi. She's on the line. Hey, Sipati.
Good evening, Pastor Ray. How are you doing?
I'm very well, and how have you been?
I'm good, thank you.
God is good, you know. We declare the goodness of God in our lives all the times.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, we are talking about the spirit of control in a marriage. You know, we have quite a lot of this.
Yeah.
A spirit of control that comes, you know, because a person is just naturally controlling.
Mm-hmm.
It's either my way or the highway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And others had gone on to an extent of actually saying, well, if things don't happen my way, it means they are not in a good order. So things must happen my way. Spirit of control also implies, for example, when a person determines who should be people who associate with you and who should not. Who should be people who are your friends and who should not be your friend. You know, it also comes to that. And in other instances, you would see that it is matters where one is actually prohibited from being a free person because of the spirit of control. And what I mean here is that the things that you used to do, if you used to love soccer, go to the soccer stadium and stuff, you are told never to go there again. If you had friends and you love to go to the basketball with your friends and your hubby says, you never go there again. You hear me, girl? And at times you also see others going to an extent of saying, if you basically want to live with me, you must obey what I am saying and what I am about. These things are really occurring. They are taking place. They happen all the time, painful as they are. We still see people who exert this without even caring as to how the other person feels. And we also see this spirit of control being a spirit of governing, you know, soul governing. Oh. You know, you govern another person's soul, your spouse's soul. You basically render your spouse, and it's very easy, you know, control. You can set the mood even in the family, you know, so that you can control them. If I want them to be as unhappy as I would want them to be, I know what to do. I can just bring in an aura of unhappiness. It's a spirit of control. We see these things happening. And at times, you know, when you're happy, you want people to jump around. When you're angry, you want people to be saddened. It's a spirit of control. It is quite sad. We see these things all the time. See, buddy?
Wow. True, that's super story. And I think when I hear about the spirit of control, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we're dealing with a spirit that seeks to eradicate someone's freedom.
Mm.
And you basically want to keep them in your little box and control what they say, what they do, at what time they can do that, you know. But what we need to understand is that it usually comes from it comes from fear. People who are controlling are as a result of the fear that they have. You know, you'll find that they fear that they could lose that person, and unless they keep them in their control, then they will lose them. Or they also fear that that person could be better than them. You know, you'll find that people who want to control others is because they want to keep them, you know, in the niche, or they don't want them to be better than they are.
Yeah.
But true love for others does not feel threatened when others excel or do better than us.
Yeah.
You know, when you truly say that we love our spouse, we should allow them the freedom to be who they are. You know, people who are controlling basically feel safe or secure when they have control over others.
Mm.
And what this leads to is manipulation, domination, where you want to dominate every situation in the home, when you don't want to accept no for an answer. And it even goes to an extent of intimidating people into cooperating with what you want, you know?
Mm.
So it's very, very, I mean, it's the kind of spirit that can bring disorder in the family, you know, where one feels that they're not able to be themselves because they are under the control of the other. The Word of God in 1 Peter 5 tells us that we need to be humble, you know? We need to humble ourselves before God's mighty hand. And being humbled also means that we take into consideration the feelings of the other person. We take into consideration the opinion of the other person. But when you have the controlling spirit in you, it is only your opinion that matters. It is only your way or no other way, you know? So that means you are not a humble person, you know? We need to be affectionate towards one another. And affection means that I will be considerate of how I treat other people as well, so that they don't feel confined into my little corner.
Sure. Now, much of the times, you know, we tend to basically see the spirit of, many people think that it is love when someone controls you. They think it is love, you know. But it's also a manipulation of a sort, isn't it, Sipati?
Absolutely. You know, we see it. People who are controlling are very manipulative. You know, they will make up stories to make you feel like you're the one who's wrong. They will dominate. They will not accept any other way except their way. What we also see with people who are controlling is that they tend to want to make everyone believe that they know it all. You know, they want to be in the spotlight. And when they feel like that spotlight is taken away from them, you will see it through their mood swings and many other ways that they use to get or gain control over the situation that they're in.
Now, we see this spirit as a spirit that also wants to determine the life of the other person. It means if the other spouse has this, now the other spouse is subjected to live according to the terms of the other. In other words, this spouse becomes subjected, you know, into or under the direct rule and control, you know, of the other, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. I think a controlling person, firstly, is not a good team player. They want to run things, you know. The Word of God says that a wife should submit themselves to their wife, to their husband. However, a controlling wife is one who just wants to be in control of everything. We need to be mindful of this. We need to have a mind of a servant. We need to value the input of our spouse, and we should be open to their counsel as well. But when the spirit of control or controlling is in you, you don't consider the input of your spouse. You don't have a servant mentality, and you never listen to their advice or anything that they have to say. So it's very, very, you know, a tricky situation in a marriage where the only person who's listened to is the one who is dominating, or the only way that is followed is of the one who is controlling or dominating in the marriage.
That's the sad part of it. When we go to the second part, let's look into, you know, we will get to moments later on, but let's look into manners of control that we see in marriages these days.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/radiopulpit. Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
657 Media Moive Radio Pulpit. I'm talking to Sipati Tabudi and we are touching base. And please remember to also make sure, because this just crossed my mind. If you want a podcast on this show, it's available. You know, Jake will make sure that he put it up for you on the website of Radio Pulpit so you can find it then. Thank you so much for the people who are hooking up with it, you know. They're getting to know Sipati even better, you know. It's great. Now, when we look into the very aspect of control, it comes in many ways, you know, and we have to look into those ways. Control also implies at times that you live up to the standards of your spouse. In a marital setting, for example, if your spouse is from the affluent background, and then I come from there, you know. Since I get hatela acha, kas kuru spatfusin ale acha. Why would? Yeah, and then here I am now. In all this, I am told, look, you must respect the people of my class, which means you must live up to it. Ah, that's the spirit of control. You must live up to it. Kwelantea hawea ubulela sipitori. You know, we start talking so that we can all understand you. Otherwise, we are in that level. Oh, yes, but it's there. You are also told at some stage, sorry about that. You are also told at some stage to even change your car. Since your car doesn't match the status that you are at. You know, I remember some of my friends were telling me at some stage, it's many, many years ago, I think about 21 years ago, I used to drive a Mazda. And it used to be, Mazda 6, it used to be a very good car, you know.
Yeah.
And it used to be great. How? I remember my friend saying, "How, Amana? Now you are married, you are still driving this Mazda." I said to them, "No, it's another Mazda." They said, "Why, Karey, man? It's the same Mazda." Okay, the Mazda I had was white, and this one that I had when I got married was also white, but they were not the same. But you could see that there was a level, there was a standard that had been set, you know. And in a marital setting, there are standards that are set. Bumang mang, they have bought a Bentley. You must make sure that you go for something like that also, you know. Now we are learning to drive, to ride the bikes because, you know, sometimes on a Sunday we ride to Cullinan. Now you have to get a bike now. You know, a bike, and you have to get a good one. Somewhere around 300,000-400,000 rands, a good one. You live up to these whims, you live up to these standards, and they keep on increasing. You know, once you say, "I have arrived at this," after you have bought a bike, you will realize that actually now you have to now get a little boat. Because now they have yachts, you also have to save up to live up to that, or else. You go, honey. If you can't handle this, go.
Sure.
Sipati, what comes to mind?
Wow. I think there's a very thin line between wanting the best for someone and wanting to help them become a better person and actually controlling and enforcing and, wanting them to be in a certain manner because it fits your standards or it fits your idea of a successful or better person. And it is unfortunate that we find people who, you know, have set a certain standard for themselves and they want to enforce it on other people.
Mm.
I think it becomes a big problem when you violate someone's right to be who they are, you
yeah.
know? I mean, when we get married, we understand that we're getting married to this person and this is how he is.
Mm.
And the moment we want to change them, I think that's where the biggest problem now starts coming in, because those changes are not communicated to this person, or they just enforced, you know, they are dictated to. They give them alternatives. Either you do this or you go the highway, you know.
Mm.
So we need to really be careful as to how we behave ourselves in our marriage, how we handle situations in our marriage. We've seen a lot of marriages fall apart because the wife or the husband keeps comparing their spouse to others, and they keep putting pressure on them to be like the other person, whereas they're not ready to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
We need to remember that this is a partnership. This is teamwork, and we are working towards the same goal, and we have the same vision as a family. But the moment you want to dominate and not give the other a chance to contribute towards this goal or achieving this goal, then it becomes a huge problem. There is nothing as sad as being in a situation where you have no rights, you have no freedom, you have no say. You just exist, you know, you follow orders, and if you don't, then there's trouble. So we need to understand that marriage is a partnership, it is teamwork, and that true love, you know, is never threatened by how the others are performing or how much they're doing better than us. But true love actually cheers the other on, you know, it encourages the other to do better. It doesn't want to control. The only control that should be exercised is self-control. We need to control ourselves. We should shy away from having control over other people, by all means.
Mm. Now, there are times, and as we look into this, where controlling comes in this manner. Friends are chosen for you. And there are friends, you are told, now these are low at last. They can't be part of, you know, they can't be part of us. Imagine this one coming to visit you. How would you respond to that?
There could be a lot of reasons behind, you know, behind that. And many reasons, in most cases, you'll find that the spouse feels that this friend is not good for you for valid reasons, you know. And in that case, it makes sense to suggest and to make aware the concerns that you have in regards to the friendship that your spouse has with this person.
Yes.
So how we communicate it is also very important, because it is in how we say it that the one you say it to could either interpret it as wanting to control them or just being genuinely concerned about them and the friendship that they have.
Mm.
So I think that if it comes out as a dictate, like if you're dictating to them that this and this one and this one, you will not be friends with them, and you don't put reasons forward as to why you feel they should not be friends, that is a spirit of control in place. But if you're genuinely concerned because there's certain issues that come up as a result of this friendship, then we need to communicate our concerns and let it be the decision of your spouse to end that friendship. Let it not be imposed upon them to end the relationship or the friendship.
All right. If you just tuned in, welcome to it, man. Things are just heating up here. They're becoming quite well. I'm enjoying the conversation. We are talking about the spirit of control in a marital setting, you know, but we see these things really coming about. We see these things really happening. And many of the marriages, to be honest with you, have gone aground, you know, because of the control that had been there all along. So we're touching on that. We trust and believe God is doing you good. When we come back, let us look, therefore, into some of the reasons people who exert a control say they have.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM. Words of truth and value. You'll find it on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
As easy as the touch of a button. The message of life on 657 AM.
Welcome back. 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. I'm talking to Sipati Tabuli, and here we are, touching on the very aspect, and this is amazing, the very issue of the spirit of control, you know, that is exerted by one spouse to another. And we see in instances that others would really put on reasons as to why they are exerting such control over their spouses, you know. Here's another one. This is an example. Someone says, no, I'm exerting such control over him because, hey, brother man, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? You know, and in the book club, you know, some people would call your husband Denzel. Where is your Denzel? You know, then, you know, have you ever looked at the tone of your skin? You know, have you ever looked at yourself when you're walking? Yo, I have to control this. Otherwise, I'll be crying. I have to control this. And another one put it across and said they have had a very bad experience, you know, in their previous marriage or in their previous relationship. They have had a very bad experience, and so they are doing that. They are controlling because of that, to want to avoid that should it come the second time. Mm-hmm. Others had gone on to say, no, I was raised that way. One of my parents was really exerting a rule over the other. If this one says we go north, we go north. Even if it's against a storm. If he or she has spoken, they have spoken. That word doesn't go back to them. They have spoken. And it has gone to that extent of saying, this also I make it my philosophy, because look at them. They've been together for 45 years. So others are exerting a spirit of control because they think it is a recipe. It's a learned recipe. They've seen that thing happening. Another one exerting a spirit of control is the issue of insecurities. Eish. Ay, 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 ay. The issue of insecurities. It boils down to trust, to say, hey, if this guy can get something that looks better than me, I know he's gone. So I'm going to make sure that even the friends we have, they won't get someone who is in their 30s. And ay, not in a bad way, though. Because they're insecure. See, buddy?
Well, to add on to that, sorry, some people actually want to control because they probably know the weakness of their spouse. So, for example, they know that this one, when they have money, you know, they go on a shopping spree uncontrollably. So, you know, so they kind of feel that they need to control the finances, because when they let the other one, you know, do as they like, then there's a lot of mess that comes out of that. as you also mentioned, the issue of past experience, I think what I want to add on to that is that we need to be very careful, because if we're going to use past experience as an excuse for wanting to control our spouses, what we're basically communicating to them is that we don't trust that you have changed. We don't trust that you have repented. We don't trust that you will no longer do what you did in the past. And that can, you know, actually lead someone to going back to what they did in the past, because they have every excuse that they can use. That, I mean, firstly, you don't trust that I'm a changed man. You don't trust that I'm incapable of doing what I did, you know. So we need to really be careful, because in communicating the mistrust, we just fueling the situation where we could have them repeat what we fear they might actually do. So that's another one. And you also mentioned the issue of insecurity, which we see a lot in ladies. Yes, maybe it happens with men as well. But the issue of insecurity, where you find that the partner is controlling who is allowed to call you, who is not allowed to call you, what applications you can have on your phone, which ones you're not allowed to have, the times that you should be back at home, and should you be back an hour or a minute late, then it becomes a big issue. So that's some of the things that goes back to what we mentioned earlier, that that spirit basically seeks to eradicate someone's freedom. However, we need to understand that with freedom comes responsibility.
Yes.
So we need to also be careful not to abuse the responsibility. I mean, not to abuse the freedom.
The freedom,
and
yes.
Also, yeah. We need to be careful not to abuse that freedom, because in abusing it, we basically also just fueling the issue of control in the other one.
And others end up not being happy in a marriage, you know, because, you know, they really feel very much subjected to a control of some sort. And that is why you'll hear others saying, "You're not my mother," you know, when they argue with their spouse. Or the other one saying, "You're not my dad," you know, "You're not my father." These things come across in many instances than one. Right. We also see, Sipati, you know, there are notions that come across where one basically sees that, okay, I am exerting a control over this person because somehow I feel that should he get a chance to know, you know, another aspect of me, they will leave. Not necessarily insecurity, but others are exerting a control because there is something just about them. Maybe they have done something. I remember the other one was saying to me, "No, I'm exerting control over him because he might go on to actually hate me to an extent, you know, that, you know, if they know what I had done before I got married, you know, there was a time I got somehow, I would say that, I got impregnated somehow, then I terminated it, you know, so I'm exerting a control over them so that they don't come around that angle of knowing more about me." What's your take there?
Well, I cannot imagine a prison that is more harsh than that, or a prison sentence that's more harsh than that upon yourself as a person, where you need to control the situation for the sake of hiding certain things about yourself. So what it basically communicates is that you don't even trust the love that that person has for you to be able to handle the past that you have, you know. It's not a good situation to be in, because I believe that true love really is able to overlook everything, every situation, be it our past. We know we all have a past, but we have been saved by grace, and we have changed from who we were in the past, you know. And someone who loves you should be able to see that change in you and not hold your past against you. It is unfortunate that you do find people like that who will forever remind you of your past experiences. And that has led to people wanting to control the situation for the sake of peace in the marriage, you know. So I see it as a prison where you have two people who feel that they need to put certain measures in place for the sake of the other one not finding out certain things about the other one.
True.
And when do you then find the time to truly enjoy the marriage when there's forever, you know, this burden that you carry with you all the time?
It is quite sad when you see those things coming across, and we feel, you know, that at times, you know, people would be bringing some good examples of, say, I'm exerting a lot of control on this guy because this guy used to run away. He used to run away with other women and stuff. When we come back, let's look into the effects of these.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM, Sounds of Life.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You're on 657 AM. Radio with the truth in his voice.
I'm talking to Sipati Taburi, and here we are talking about, you know, a spouse who exerts so much control. If you can hear some of the things we say when we are off air, you know, about these very issues here, you'll be shocked. You will be shocked. Actually, I think I was shocking her, Sipati, when I was telling her some of the things that we get to hear. Now, it's amazing. The effects are that you might drive your spouse away from you if you actually exert control over them. We must be careful about that. Secondly, you might make them to hate being around you because the control is actually, in a way, the biggest format of nagging is control. And another aspect of it is that when you are actually a spouse that is, in one way or another, very much involved in matters of controlling your spouse, they might start doing things behind your back. They might start preferring with other people who make them feel like kings or queens. Because once you control someone in that manner, you actually are no longer their spouse, but you are acting as their parent. Let me tell you, people don't like other people to act as their parents to them, especially in a marital setting. It can actually destroy the marriage. Others can go on to say, you are controlling me the way you do, it's because untoile, you know. There's some mood you have used over me. I can't go on like that. Others would be saying, okay, you are exerting your control over me and all these kind of things and stuff, and they would want to break violently away from you. So the repercussions are just a catastrophe, Sipati.
Absolutely. Sorry. I think that if we were to look at it this way, that the opposite of control is freedom.
Mm.
So when you are actually controlling someone, you've taken away their freedom. And when you do that, people will try to do anything it takes to break away, you know. They will try to do anything and everything to regain their freedom. So while you think that you are solving the problem by exercising control on certain situations, as we were making examples, that sometimes people will feel that because of past experience or because of my insecurities or because I know his weaknesses, so for me to avoid going through that, I will exercise control So to prevent these things from happening, what you're basically saying is that you've taken away their freedom, number one. And number two, you are not allowing them the ability to exercise self-control on their own. So when you feel the need to control them, they will never get to a point where they are able to control themselves. So that means in a case where you are not present to exercise that control, that person will go ahead and do what you're trying to prevent them from doing. The Word of God in 1 John 4, verse 18 tells us that there is no fear in love, and that perfect love casts out fear. So when there is true love in the marriage, we need to then understand that fear and love cannot coexist. And in a case where there is fear, we will find ourselves wanting to control our spouse.
Because, you know, I've seen that. When one exercises that kind of thing over their spouse, it is a sad thing, Sipati, you know, because they become enslaved somewhat, somehow. They become also, in one way or another, subservient. They now lose their dignity. They lose their sense of determination. You know, since they are looked at and controlled as if they are children, then they don't have a direction. And others succumb to that. But they lose their own interest into life for themselves. And they might miss out on some of the purposes that have to do with their lives. They might miss out on that. Others would go to an extent of even really becoming despondent, you know, towards their spouses. And not well disposed towards them, and hating them, you know, disdained when they think about them. And at times also, it would be a matter of saying, "Eish, you know, I just wish to go home and sleep instead of going home and having to look that person in the eyes." You know, avoidance becomes the key issue there. And hey, before you know it, adultery sets in. See, buddy?
Absolutely. You know, it leads one to having no voice whatsoever, you know?
Mm.
And what we don't understand is that you now end up with someone who is no longer a team player, who is no longer your helper, or someone who's no longer working towards the same vision as you, or working towards achieving the same goals that you have as a family, you know? So they become numb to the situation where they just exist because there's nothing else that they can do, you know? Their opinion is not valued. Their input is not valued. Anything they do is not valued, you know? So it does get to a point where one is discouraged, no longer wants to try, and they just, you know, become someone who's there because they have to be there. And as you said, it does lead to such things. You know, it leads to people going outside to find someone that will value their input, that will value their opinion, that will make them feel worthy, you know. And it's in the little things that we do that push other people away. And control is the number one thing that has pushed so many people away. And funny thing is that we said sometimes we do it because we feel that we're trying to protect what we have. But what we're not realizing is that we are actually on the verge of destroying that same thing that we're trying to protect.
And isn't that one of the saddest things, you know, where you find that a spouse basically would tend to lose the very same person they are controlling to have around. You know, that is the thing. What you just said now is so powerful that, you know, trying to exert a control to keep a person around, you actually are setting yourself up for losing them. You know, you might lose them emotionally, spiritually, mentally. You might lose them. You might lose their affection. Romantically, you might lose them. you know, they might be there, but they are not there, you know, if you know what I'm saying. They might be part of you, but they no longer are with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad reality of things that comes about, and people have to be careful there, finally. What say you, Sipati?
Well, I'm happy that you mentioned that losing someone is not always about them packing their bags and leaving. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing as painful as losing someone who is there with you every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, they no longer have anything to say. They no longer contribute to anything. They just exist.
Mm.
And that is the most heavy burden anyone can carry in the marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that unless you really deal with the spirit of control, that is what will happen eventually, where one will just exist and no longer partake in this marriage, you know, as before.
Ish, it is quite sad. When things happen in the way that they do, and they come about in the way that they do, and control becomes the reigning factor, disaster becomes the order of the day. Sipati, I want to thank you. I want to appreciate the time we've had. And, you know, this topic, you know, we will deal with part two of it at some stage. But for now, I just want to thank you and appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me, Pastor.
And how do people hook up with you?
My email address is sipati@nishatwfoundation.org.
Mm.
I'm also on Facebook. My Facebook name is Sipati WD.
Okay, Sipati, thank you so much, and we talk again the coming week.
Absolutely. Thank
right
you.
Then. Thank you so much, and that is Sipati Tabudi. Coming up next, we are going to be touching base with Nontuthuzela Sikutlweleng. The challenges of single parenting is what we are talking.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You're at 657 AM, Radio Caring, 24 hours a day. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.